You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So, yesterday I went biking with my kids, and it was, whoa, don't hit the baby. Okay. And we had a time. I would say it was interesting. That would be a good way to put it. I would say that perhaps it was challenging. But here's the deal. What happened yesterday is that my family, we liked to bike. And when the kids were little, actually before we even had kids, Kendra and I bought a couple of, you know, really nice, high-end Walmart bikes. And we went biking. We would go biking. There's a place in out towards Altoona between Hollidaysburg and Water Street called the Lower Trail, and it's a rails to trails, which means it used to be a train track, and then they kind of got rid of the tracks and made it just a nice, smooth biking path. And so we've been doing this for years. When the kids were little, we bought trailers. So Kendra and I each pulled one trailer with two kids in them. So we had all six of us would ride, and we had a great time. It was always a great family thing. It's a 15-mile one-way trail. Kendra and I did it, or I think it's 18 miles. Kendra and I did once by ourselves without any trailers back and forth. But, you know, we usually do like 15, 20 miles total. And so we thought last year we started going, and Kara, my oldest daughter, she is 9, she learned to ride her bike. And so she rode with us last year. We pulled Alethea, Tommy, and Jack in the trailer. And this year, Alethea, who's 8 years old, we said, you know what, it's time for you to do this. And she'd been riding this bike, and if you look from this side, you'll see that it doesn't have a training wheel. But if you look at it from this side, you'll see that it does. And she'd been riding this bike with training wheels, and we said, you know what, it's time to take the wheels off. It's time for you, Alethea, to do what Mom and Dad do and Kara does. It's time for you to do our thing and ride a bike for real without the training wheels. And on paper, this idea seemed fairly good to her. But when we got out there, hell is a bad place. So this isn't hell, but it was close. It was a long day. We started out with the training wheels on, and she kept leaning on the training wheel. And the reason there's only one training wheel is not because we removed it. It's because she was riding so heavily on it that she broke it. It actually snapped off. And this one on this side is actually about to go. If you look at it up close, you'll see that it's got some issues too. But as we were doing this, we're like, Alethea, you've got to do this. And so we started biking with the training wheels, and before long, she's balancing. And not even using the training wheels. And we're like, look, you're doing it. And as soon as she would start to balance, she would freak out and, like, you know, not use the brake. She would instead, like, bail and ditch the bike. Every time, bail and ditch the bike. And every time she started to do it, we're like, no, you can do this. And every time she started doing it the right way, she would freak out. And so 5 miles later, about every 25, 50 feet or so, she would stop and ditch the bike. So it was a little bit longer of a day than we had intended. And as we were doing it, you know, the crazy thing about it was that she knows how to do it. She can do it. She has the skill to do it. And as parents, we're like, Alethea, you can do what we do. You can do this. You've got what it takes. You've got the ability. And as we gave her, you know, as we started riding the bike, and here's the crazy thing, right? And you know how this works. You guys have kids, and we're all stupid adults, too. But the training wheel was broken off, and life was fine until I said, look, the training wheel isn't even there. You're not using it. Then she freaked out and bailed on the bike. So, you know, even though the training wheel was gone, and so this whole time, she had everything physically that she needed to do it. The bike, we gave her the tools to do it. Hey, you've got a bike, you've got a helmet, so if you do fall, and she'll tell you, and I'm not allowed to talk about this, but she can tell you a story about how she almost died. Because she almost died. She did! That's what she says. No, but I'm not allowed to talk about that part, so you have to ask her. But because I got her permission to share this story and to ride her bike. And we gave her everything we need. As we were going along, we said, Alethea, watch how we do it. see how we're doing it? And we start to fall, you turn the wheel a little bit. You know, and we demonstrated all the skills of riding the bike, and she had the tools to do it. And even then, we kept going, hey, you can do this. You can do this. We are with you the whole time. We didn't leave her. Well, not for too long. Remember hell. Just remember that. We're like, go move the bike. Anyway, we didn't leave. We could still see her, but we were just trying to make a statement. Anyway, but we are with her. We are with her like, no, you can do this. You can do this. You've got what it takes. You can do what we do. You've got what it takes. You can do what we do. You can do this. You don't need the training wheels. It's time to take the training wheels off. And so we went this trip trying to show her that she could do what we do. This morning I want to talk to you guys about making disciples. Last week we've gone through this series in Go, and 2 weeks ago we said, you know, we're to give grace even when it's not deserved. That we are to give grace to people that, you know what, no matter how awful, heinous, mean they've been to us, horrible they are, we need to give them grace and say, hey, we love you anyway. And that is what Jesus did to us. Then last week was sort of part one of what I'm talking about today. Last week we said how we need to live like Jesus, even though it's easier just to like him. It's easier to click like and say, I like Jesus, than it actually is to live like him. We talked about what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. It means you are doing what Jesus does. You are living like him. And today I want to talk to you about this concept. And here's the point that I want you to walk away with from here. It's communicate Christ, even if you feel unworthy. Communicate Christ even if you feel unworthy. And I don't know what your background is. You know, maybe you were literally born in a church and there was a mess on a front pew. I don't know. Maybe you have, this is like the first time you've ever been in something called a church. And you're like, that's not what I expected a church to look like. And people look at me like, you're not a very good pastor either. So I guess it works out. But I don't know where you are on that spectrum. But here's the thing. As a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of Jesus, as a Christ follower, he thinks that we've got what it takes. He thinks, as we said last week, you know, when you're following Jesus, when you're spending time with him, wow, this is hot. When you're with him, you can do the things that Jesus does. He says, you know, you're living like Jesus. You're spending time with your rabbi. You're spending time following him. You're spending time with him. And that's what the disciples did. They were with Jesus everywhere he went. They were with him when he had good times. They're with them through some of the challenging times. They're with them when everybody says, we love him. We love him. Hail Jesus. You'll become our king. And they're with them when he said, crucify him. Well, kind of. But they were with him through that whole process because they were learning from their rabbi. They were learning from their teacher, their master. And now Jesus sets this up and says, look, now you guys can do what I've done. You guys have what it takes. It's time to take the training wheels off because I'm leaving and you're going to take over. You're going to do what I do. So I want to read this passage. And if you've been in church like more than 12 seconds, you've probably heard this. And it says this, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. You see, we have this passage that is called the Great Commission, which means it is a commission. It was a challenge. It was a job that Jesus gave the disciples, and it's great because it's pretty cool. It's not just great because it's a lot of world. I mean, there is a big world. But the fact that Jesus is saying to his disciples, you've got it what it takes. So I want to talk a little bit about this passage and talk about this idea of taking off the training wheels. And the fact that Jesus says to you, who, me? Yes, you. You've got what it takes. So communicate Christ. And we'll talk what that looks like. But communicate Christ. Even if you feel like, I don't know. You don't know about my past. And we'll talk about that. You don't know about the way I act now. He says, do it. So let's talk about taking off the training wheels. In this passage, Jesus offers four things. And again, you might have heard this taught before, and I'm kind of taking a little spin on it. Typically, you know, and I've been there, I've taught it this way before, that, hey, this passage says, make disciples, and you should feel guilty and bad if you're not out every day knocking on doors in your neighbor's house and saying, do you know Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Which is not a problem, but there's something deeper, I think, than just this guilt trip thing. Jesus offers some things to us. The first thing, and this is the beauty of the passage, is that Jesus offers confidence in us. Jesus offers confidence in us. See, in the context of the passage, here's the deal. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus died on the cross. We know that story, right? And then in the beginning of chapter 28, it shares about how Jesus is now alive. He rose from the grave so that when we are laying in baptism waters and we're going under, we're dying to our sin, we're not just dead, we don't leave him under there. A number of those people were like grateful for that. We don't leave them on there. We bring them back up because they were raised to life. Jesus was raised to life. He's alive now, still, currently, 2012, Mifflin County and the world. Jesus is alive. And so he tells his disciples, hey, look, go to this place and worship me. Jesus isn't there yet. They go to a place. And at that moment, a couple of them were like, I don't know about this Jesus thing. And I don't think he rose again. But then he appears to them. So he appears to them so that all doubt is removed. And Jesus says to these guys, look, you, now there's 11 because Judas betrayed Jesus and killed himself. I don't know if he did at that point yet, chronology. But anyway, he's not there. So there's 11 disciples, 11 followers of Jesus. And again, when we say the word disciple, I use the phrase Christ follower. Because these people were with Jesus everywhere. They slept in the place that he slept. Got to watch what I'm saying. That's awkward. They slept where Jesus was. They lived life where Jesus. I mean, and I told you last week that sometimes even a good disciple will follow their rabbi even into the bathroom just to get a glimpse. Like, what is it that makes this guy tick? Like, that's how that relationship between a rabbi, a teacher, and their follower, it was close. It wasn't like, hey, like I said last week, it wasn't like, hey, I'll see you next Sunday. It was an everyday, every moment of everyday thing. And so you had these 11 disciples. And the thing about disciples, and you're going to learn more about this in your prime groups this week. Prime groups start up, and we'll talk about that later. But in your prime groups this week, you're going to explore this more. So if you aren't signed up for a prime group, the sign-up sheets are out there. But anyway, you're going to learn more about this concept. But basically, the disciples, they were the leftovers. All the good religious people at this point were Pharisees. They were the ones, and again, we talked about them. They were the ones that stuck to the rules, as we looked at last week. They were all the good people were doing the spiritual God thing, the religion thing, but not actually following Jesus. And so Jesus comes along, and it says, you know, he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers and says, look, come follow me. And the reason this was so amazing wasn't because Jesus, like, put them in a trance, like, remember when Crocodile Dundee did that? Anybody? No? Okay. Puts them in a trance and make them follow him. It was because they're like, whoa. A rabbi wants me? I've already been kicked out of school. I've already not made it. I'm just fishing. I smell like fish. The fish smell. And so Jesus says, follow me. And these guys are like, okay. And so they follow him. And so in the course of time, Jesus picks up these 12 and now 11 followers of him. And so these guys were the leftovers. They were the losers. And now Jesus is here. Okay, he's alive. He's on the top of this mountain with these guys and says, look, guys. I'm about to go. I'm about to leave. And so he starts out, and that's what I just read to you. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he says, just in case you weren't sure who I was, just in case like the whole, yeah, I came back to life, conquered death, ha-ha, you've done that too, right? Oh, you haven't? Okay. But I did. And he says, you know, just in case, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth, which pretty much covers everything, has been given to me. He says, God has given me the authority. And so now, you loser disciples, you leftovers, you guys that didn't quite have what it takes, I am saying to you, go and make disciples of all nations. He says, guys, you've got what it takes. You are now going to take my job and you're going to make disciples. You're going to have people that are going to follow you. Jesus says, guys, it's time to take the training wheels off because you can do what I do. You've got what it takes. And he says, go make disciples. And this series is called Go. Because it's not about here. It's not about in this building. I mean, part of what we do as a church is make disciples. And that's not part of that. That is what we do. But it doesn't just happen here. I mean, think of it this way. Think about an airport, right? An airport, if you said, hey, where are you going? Oh, I need a ride to the airport. Okay, cool, I'll take you there. And that you say, okay, well, where are you headed? Where are you going? Oh, just to the airport. Well, what are you doing there? Just sitting. Why are you going to the airport? Oh, just because. Like, no, you'd be like, wait, what? You know, unless you've got some issues and TSA will grab you anyway, you don't go to an airport just to hang out. I don't think you can get into the airport to hang out. You go to an airport because the airport is the launching area to send you somewhere else. And that's what this is. That's what church is all about. That's what our worship gathering, and we'll talk more about this later too, it's about saying we're starting here to go out somewhere. So Jesus says, go make disciples. Go do what I've been doing. You go and make your own disciples. Make followers of me. And he says of all nations. And the thing too is not the word nations in Greek here doesn't mean just like, you know, make sure you cover every nation on the map. He says, you know, of everybody. And I think as we talked last time, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, and we'll talk again about this idea of the Samaritans and how the Jews hated the Samaritans. And I think Jesus is probably being a little intentional saying, you know what? Make disciples even of the Samaritans. What? Yeah. Even of the Gentiles. But they're not Jewish. I know. Make disciples of all nations. And for us, it's like make disciples of everybody, even those people we don't like. And that comes back to the first week, which you can find at mc3.org. MSC3Church.org and download it. So I'm not going to get into that. But this idea of giving grace when it's not deserved. So he says, make disciples. He says it's time to do it. The word make disciples, the phrase make disciples, again, we have perhaps confused it. We've used it a lot to say, okay, make disciples means make sure you go to a class or here's a Bible study. Complete that and then you're done. Making disciples, again, as we talked about last week, means living like Jesus. He says to make people that are followers, to train a follower. So he says to the disciples, look, you guys, you've got what it takes. I'm confident in you. I believe in you. I think you can do this. Aletheia, you've got what it takes. You can do this. I believe in you. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. Guys, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, you've got what it takes. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you've been a follower of Jesus for 50 years or for 50 minutes, you've got what it takes. Jesus is confident. Now, I want you to understand, too. I mean, you hear me say the phrase a lot, Christ followers. I'm very intentional about that. I don't use the word Christians. Because Christians mean so much gobbledygook today. And you never heard anybody use the word gobbledygook in a long time. But I'm saying it. It's watered down. It means so much. Oh, I live in America, therefore I'm Christian. That's fine, but you're not a Christ follower unless you're living like Jesus, which goes back to last week. It all ties together. But understand that there's a difference there between a Christian and someone that is following Christ. And that's what we look for. We want people to be Christ followers. And the word disciple means follower. The other thing that's interesting here is that there's a difference between a disciple and a decision. A disciple is one, if you haven't gotten it, you're going to get it. One who follows the footsteps of their teacher, who becomes like their teacher, who becomes like the one that they're following. Jesus didn't say, hey guys, do you want to follow me? They dropped their nets and said, sure, all right, see you in heaven. And he moves on. No, they followed him. They were with him. And that's what, and if you grew up in church, this is one of those things that, again, I've taught it this way, like, this means to make sure people trust Jesus as their Savior, which is a good thing. But if it ends there, then we have not made disciples. It means to make people that are following Jesus and becoming more like Jesus. And yesterday maybe they were a little bit like Jesus, and today they're more like Jesus, and then tomorrow, man, it was a really bad day and they weren't like Jesus at all. And I'm talking about me. That we're constantly becoming more and more like Jesus. So Jesus has confidence. He says, you guys have what it takes. You can do this thing. The next thing, and this is kind of crazy, it's kind of a weird thing, but the next thing is that Jesus offers a reference for us. Anybody ever applied for a job? There's a lot of hands that aren't up, so I'm really curious how this all worked out. But when you apply for a job, often they will ask you for what? References, right. And a reference is someone that says, oh yeah, you know what? I've known Kevin for 75 years. He looks really good for his age. I've known Kevin for 75 years, and man, he is the best gum cleaner upper ever that I've seen. He can do it. Hire Kevin. And they're like, score! We need a gum cleaner upper. Especially TJ Maxx and State College. There's a whole bunch of gum splattered on the front of the... Anyway. But you know, you have a reference, and suddenly they're like, oh, it comes from Sean! So that's huge! Or maybe they're like, oh, you're his reference. We'll be in touch, Kevin. But you know what I mean? A reference is someone that talks on behalf. And Jesus says, this is the crazy thing, he says, look, I've got all the authority in the heavens on earth. I want you to do what I do. And he says, you don't even have to do it in your own name. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, baptize them in my name, not your name. There's no burden or pressure of like, oh, what if I'm not perfectly exactly the way I'm supposed to be? Jesus says, that's fine because I am. He says, I am perfect. And baptism, as we just talked about, and it ties in nicely, doesn't it? You'd think I planned these things. He says, look, baptize them in my name. And baptism was simply a way that people identified themselves as a follower of a rabbi. I mean, it was like Jesus told his disciples, hey, when you go down there, tell them Jesus sent you. And, you know, that'll open up doors. Actually, there's scripture about that. That's kind of cool. Anyway, but baptism meant that someone was being identified. If you remember, there was a guy in the beginning of the Gospels, and if you weren't in church, if you haven't been around church, that's cool. But his name, we call him John the Baptist, right? Or if you're like, oh, I don't want to talk about Baptists, we'll call him John the Baptizer. I don't know. But he, the reason he was called that wasn't his last name. It was because that's what he did. He was baptizing people who said, look, John, I want to be baptized. I want to go under this water. I want to be immersed in John. I want to be immersed and live the life that John lives. And so when John the Baptist was baptizing people, these people were saying, I am committing to being a follower of the way of John. John, and of course, if you read in Scripture, he was different, but he loved God with all of his heart. And so people were baptized in the Jordan River by John, to say that we are followers of him. We are going to be following him. We're going to do the things that he does and live the way he lives, which means a different diet. Okay, locusts and honey. Good benefits and pot, I don't know. Honey, yeah, locusts. Maybe if you dip them. Or just dip them in chocolate. Yeah, okay. I think one of Kendra's goals by the end of her life is to have dipped everything in chocolate at some point and eat it. So, but anyway, he says, you know, John the Baptist was baptizing people in his name. And then all of a sudden, this Jesus guy comes into the water. And if you remember the story, and if you don't, that's cool. But Jesus walks into the water and says, look, John, I want you to baptize me. And John's like, no, 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 no. He understood that baptism meant that by being baptized in their name, you would be their follower. And John doesn't want Jesus to baptize. John doesn't want to baptize Jesus because that means Jesus is a follower of John. John says, no, 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 I want you to baptize me because I want to be your follower. And he knew who Jesus was. And then, of course, it was a little bit deeper than that because the heavens opened up and a voice said, this is my son. That doesn't usually happen. I didn't hear that. Did that happen now for any of these people? Okay, good. I mean, either way, good. Yeah, I guess that's really good. But the heavens opened up and it's like identify that this is Jesus. This is the one. He's the Messiah, the one that everybody's been waiting for. And so Jesus was basically saying, when you make disciples, don't baptize them in your name, which was the traditional thing. If I was going to have followers, I would baptize them in my name. Because just so everybody knows, hey, everybody, I am now following Rabbi Sean. I am now his disciple. I'm going to live life with him. So when you see me hanging around, you know why. It was a public demonstration of that. Starting to make sense now? And so when Jesus says, look, don't baptize them in your name, that's what everybody's always done. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize them in my name. Then the pressure's off. You're not trying to live like a good person, just have them follow me. And so that's where here. Jesus says, you know, you've got, use my name. You've got my reference. You can do this thing. I've got confidence in you, and you can do this. And, you know, the Greek word for name is onoma, which means it's not just their name, but it's kind of what they represent, their title, their reputation. He says you can be baptized someone not just with the title. I mean, this wasn't an issue of title, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Baptize them in my name and who I am so that they understand that they're being a disciple of Almighty God and His Son Jesus that died on the cross for your sins and rose again, and the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That is who we are following. If you think that this act, any of you five people, if you think you're following me, Kirk, Jeb, or Scott, don't. I've been around all of them, and they've all said that I'm horrible. Don't. It's about being like Jesus. That's the idea. So he says, you know what? Not only do I think you can do it, I'm taking the burden. It's not your pressure. It's not your issue of being the rabbi. I'm saying you can use my name. I'll be the reference for you. I will give you everything that you need to do it. The third thing that Jesus offers is tools. He offers tools to us. He says, look, guys, you can do what I do. You can go. You can make disciples. You can make followers of me. And I'm going to give you not only my name, but I'm going to give you the tools to do it. I'm not going to say, hey, good luck. Hope it works out for you. He says, I'm giving you everything that you need. And that's what he says there in the passage. He says, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He says, look, guys, you're not on your own. You've got this. Or, oh, my phone isn't up here. Or whatever your technological version of it is. He says, you've got my word. You've got the tools that you need. You're not on your own. It's not a good luck. Hope it works out. It is very clearly I've given you exactly what you need so that you can follow me. You've got the tools. You're not on your own. Aletheia, you've got a helmet. It will protect you. Aletheia, the wheels spin. They go round and round, round and round, round and round. They go. You've got what you need. You can do this. It's not like we said, Aletheia, I know you're standing there without any kind of equipment, but I want you to ride a bike. Can imaginary pedal. I would make like an air guitar. You know, I don't know. Like, we didn't do that. We gave her the tools to use. And Jesus says, you've got my word. He says, teach them to obey. And the word teach is different. The Greek word is didasko. It means to teach, to learn, to teach, to get it. If I said to you, listen, 2 + 2 = 4. Okay? And then I said, what does 2 + 2 =? And you said 7. Then I have not taught you. Do you see that? I have shared information, but you have not learned it yet. Teaching to obey. The idea is to get it. To understand, to walk away differently, to be changed because of the teaching. And that's what Jesus says. Is look, baptize them in my name. You've got the tools to do it because I'm giving you the word. Everything that I've demonstrated you, everything that I've commanded you, you guys, and he's talking to the disciples here, you have followed me around for the last 3 some years. You know what it takes. So now do that yourself. You can do it. And Jesus says that to us, like, you've got the tools. I'm not leaving you here on your own. You've got my word. You know how I lived. You've got instructions. You've got the tools to do what you need to do. And there's an interesting thing here, again, with that teaching idea, that it's different from just proclaiming. There's a different Greek word that means to proclaim, to tell. And Jesus says, don't just tell people. And I think that sometimes, you know, Christ followers can get caught up in this, like, well, as long as I told them, I'm good. Hey, all of you, come to Jesus. He loves you. He died for your sin. And you feel like, check, I can add that off of my list. And if you were here last week, no, because there's no lists. But we've got this idea of we can just yell it out, we're good. He says, no, teach them to obey. And the obey word means to capture. It's the same word to guard a fortress. It means to watch over. So it's not like, oh yeah, I knew that once. It's to say, okay, I understand this, and now I'm going to live differently. Jesus has said, here you go. You've got the tools. You've got my word. Teach everybody. Teach them to obey it. That's what this is all about. That's why I'm here. That's why we have our prime groups. And again, we'll talk about all that in just a little bit. But the idea of teaching to obey. Jesus didn't leave us on our own. So we've got this setup here. Jesus says, look, you guys can do it. You have what it takes. He says, I've got confidence in you. I know that you're not as awesome as you think you are. He says, I've got the confidence that you can do it. You've got the, you're able to do it. You've got the tools. He says, I will give you my name. And the cool thing about the name is that we're not making followers of us. And again, I don't know what your past has looked like. And some of you have more decorated ones, if you will, than others. And Jesus says, you know, it doesn't matter who you were. It matters who I am. And so when it comes to this idea of saying, I'm going to make disciples, you don't have to say, well, but you don't understand what I did or how I act. And Jesus says, it doesn't matter who you are. It's about following me, making disciples and baptizing them in my name and teaching them to obey. And that's good stuff. Alethea, you've got what it takes. You can do this. Mom and I, we have done this for a long time. We know how to do it. We will be glad to show you. We can teach you. Alethea, you've got the bike. You've got the helmet for safety. You can ride without training wheels. And that would be great. But here's the kicker. Here's the awesome. And I have to tell you, this was a shower moment last night for me. And I know you don't want to picture that. But I was in the shower. I'm like, I'm missing a really important part of this passage. And that was that Jesus has also given, he offers his presence with us. His presence with us. Jesus didn't say, look, I'm going to give you everything. Go for it. You've got everything you need. He says, look, surely. And I can make my Shirley joke. Stop calling me Shirley. He says, look, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Not sometimes, not most times. He says, I am with you always. He says, you guys, you 11 disciples, you Christ followers in 2012, you've got what it takes. You can do this, and I am going to be with you always. And you hear Jesus saying that, and suddenly Michael Jackson was like appearing in the background. You are not alone. But that didn't really happen because that would have been weird. But but that's what Jesus is saying. You're not alone. I am with you. I am there. You've got me beside you. When you go out to do this thing, when you go to make disciples, when you feel like, man, my past is holding me up. I screwed up. Or even when you go to someone and say, hi, and they're like, hey, can you tell me about Jesus? And you're like, well, he was nice. You know, Jesus says, I'm with you. I am there with you. And I don't have time, but I could tell you a story where I had a friend of mine in high school that said, dude, I don't know what would happen if I died. And I'm like, well, that's nice. Stupid. And Jesus says, look, I'm with you. You can do this thing. You're not alone. You've got my presence. The cool thing about yesterday is when Alethea was riding the bike, her brothers in the trailers were saying, Alethea, you can do this. You can do this, Alethea. You can do it. You can do it. You can do this. You can do it. You're doing it. You're doing it. Ooh, you can do this. You can do this. Alethea, you can do this. And I'm telling you, we didn't tell them to say that. Both of their brothers and we as parents are saying, you can do this. We're here. We're with you. You're not alone. You've got what it takes right now. MC3, people in this room, you have what it takes to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus. So don't feel like you can't do it. Communicate Christ even if you feel unworthy. Do it. Do it. Not pressure, not guilt, not, oh, God's going to smite you. I got corrected on my grammar. It's not an issue of that. It's saying, look, I don't know what your past was like. I don't know what your tomorrow is going to be like. But Jesus says, I've got confidence that you can do this thing. He says, you've got what it takes. So how do we communicate Christ? Let me just throw out three quick things. And I messed up there. Oh, that worked. Communicate Christ. The first thing, we can communicate Christ through community, through relationships. By developing relationships with other people, that is an amazing way to communicate Christ to people. And when I say communicate, you understand communication is way more than what comes out of my mouth. Yesterday I asked Jack a question, and he said, yes. I'm like, do you understand what you just did? Yes. You're sending me mixed signals here. You know, communication is way more than just the words. And we communicate Christ through community by, you know, whether it's deep personal relationships or just something as simple as saying hi to someone else. Something as simple as saying hi to your mailman. I don't know. There's a lot of, but through this idea of community, through the idea of building relationships, we can do this. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul writes this. He says, "Follow my example as I follow Christ." So Paul was saying, look, I don't have it all together, but look, as we spend time with each other in relationships, in community, developing relationships with another, just follow me as I'm trying to follow Christ. And that's what it might be for you, wherever you find yourself. And again, that could be in your house, in your job, in your car, whatever. Develop relationships with people, because that is the way that you communicate Christ. And I could tell stories after stories of little things that I'm like, oh man, that made a huge difference in someone's life. By developing relationships, developing community. And who knows, maybe your friendship now is the key for something later. A couple of years ago, a former student from years earlier, hadn't seen her in years, shows up at our doorstep at like 10 o'clock at night in the time of crisis. And we were like, why are you here? Because when she thought through the relationships, when she thought through the connection, when she was in a time of difficulty, where is she going to turn? She turned to us because we had a connection and we had a relationship with Christ. And I can't explain how all that works. But God used that 3 or 4 years later to say, I need to go to them. And so for us, it's community. It's connecting with one another. And we're a church all about making disciples. And so I want every one of you, if you're part of MC3, to be in a prime group. This isn't a shameless push for that. It's because this is what we have built our church around, making disciples. So you need to be connected to other people. You need to be building relationships with other people. And again, they don't have to be just in church. I would prefer that they aren't. But do you have relationships with people all around you? And if you're like, but they don't deserve it, then go back to week one where we said, give grace even when it's not deserved. So community is a way that we can do it, just through developing those relationships. The second way is through congregation. The second way that we can make disciples, that we can communicate Christ, is through worship. And, you know, this is worship. This is a time of gathering. This is a time of teaching. You can teach other people. And you don't have to worship together, just so you understand that. You can worship by yourself. As a matter of fact, you should. But this idea of gathering together and saying, look, let's worship together. And, you know, one of the things, and if you've never been to church, you've come into churches, or you know, you'll see a lot of different things at churches. I mean, one of the things you'll probably see here, perhaps that is not normal, unless you're at like a Bon Jovi concert, is people singing their hearts out. You might see them with their hands in the air. And that's kind of unusual for the world, you know, unless they're in their car by themselves and you're like, oh, you know. But worship is compelling. People have said, and there's a number of you in this room that have said, what drew me to MC3 was that these people, there was something about them. And it was a matter of worship, of being real and saying, God, we love you. God, we're not good enough. You are amazing. And that's what worship is. And that inspires people. People see that. And it comes outside of this room, too. When life is hard and people are like, how did you ever handle that? And you say, don't know, but Jesus got me through it. That's how you communicate Christ. It's all these ways of just getting people to see what is going on. And just a thought here, and I don't want you to think, okay, that making disciples means inviting them to church. Okay? It's way bigger than that. But we have tried to create an environment here where people feel comfortable, where you can invite people. And I joked last week, you have a one tattoo or a four children minimum to enter this building. You know, like, this is a place where we want people to feel comfortable. And so I ask you, even if you're like, well, I don't know how to tell them everything about Jesus, a start would just be say, hey, do you want to come to our church? It's a little different. It's in a garage. You know, right away, people are like, what? Well, surely that can't be of the Lord. I'm sure that's what they say. No, have you done that? That's just a simple thing. Have you just talked to people about how has life been? Well, I've made it through this because of what Jesus said. Have you used God's word in talking with someone else? Hey, I'm having a really rough day. And again, you don't have to get all preachy, but you could worship. You know, as we talk right now, this is worship. Teaching is worship. And you could say, you know, hey, the Bible says this. It might help you in that situation. You don't have to go any further than that, but those are ways that we communicate Christ. One of the things to give you some incentive, we've obviously made those stickers just to get the word out. You know, we're not trying to build up our numbers or, you know, come up with some sort of demographic about how we've reached this many people. I don't even know how many people are come at all. We don't count. But a way, you know, we've got those stickers for your car. Is a sticker for your car going to make someone turn their life over to Jesus? No, but it might start a conversation. Hey, what is this MC3? Well, it's the church I go to. Oh, what's that about? I don't know if I could go there. You don't know about my past. Oh, let me tell you about my past. And we communicate Christ even when we feel unworthy. So those stickers are out there on the information center. For now, just 2 per family. Put them on your cars. Get the word out. That's one way. Another thing we're doing, this is just to help you. Again, this is not, it's not marketing techniques. It's just tools. But next week, I want to do something as a church, okay? And this is like, this is technology excitement. First of all, here's our Facebook page as a church. It's facebook.com. If you go to MC3 Church, MC3 Church is our website. It's also our Facebook page, also our Twitter username. But if you go to that page, you can like us. And that'll mean, if you don't know anything about Facebook, I'm not going to try to explain all that. But if you like us, it means, you know, you can learn more about it. You'll get updates about what's going on with the church. And we usually try to post something new every day and just information about what's going on. But what I want to do next week, and I'm looking for a cool name, so I'm just calling it Flood Facebook. And if you're familiar with Facebook, you can do this thing called checking in. And so what I want to do next Sunday is I want to get the word out about MC3. And so I want everybody to check in on Facebook. So if you've got a mobile app, you can be like, check in. And what it'll do is on Facebook, it'll be like, Kirk checked in. Yeah, Kirk. Kirk checked in at Mifflin County Community Church. And it'll say that. And you can do that before you come in. You can do that when you go home. Just click on that. And the only reason is just for people like, what is this place all about? Why all of a sudden is my Facebook page filling with all these people going there? I want to check that out. And I don't care if they learn about our church, but if they learn about Jesus through our church, then we have done our job of making disciples. Do you get it? Do you see the connection here? That this is what it's all about. This is why we do what we do. This is why this room is in the building that it's in. We had decisions to make. We chose a garage on purpose. There's reasons for all this because Jesus wants us to make disciples. And if we're not developing relationships with them, if we're not spending time helping them understand what He has done for them, then we can't do that. So again, I don't want you to feel like I invited someone to church, so I've done my job making disciples. If you think that, you've obviously not been paying attention for the last 25 minutes. But so that's the second thing. The third way, any ideas on the third way, perhaps, that we could communicate Christ? Anybody, please yell it out now and make me feel good. Caring, very good. MC3, Mifflin County Community Church, also C3. Community Congregation Caring. That's what we do. That's who we are. Caring is a way to communicate Christ. And I'll tell you what, this is probably one of the most powerful ones. Because when you do something for someone and they're like, why? Why did you do that? We don't deserve this. Hey, God has done some great things in my life and He's told me to serve and I want to do that for you. I want to be an example. Follow my example as I follow Christ. Caring. And that can be little things like just walking outside and helping your neighbor with the groceries, to big things like walking outside and helping your neighbor who doesn't like you with the groceries. I don't know. There's so many different ways to care. And I think the issue isn't that we don't see them, it's that we don't respond to them. And MC3, caring is such an important part. I mean, again, it's little things, big things. If there's a way you can help, and you guys you're so good at this, and I'm so excited that we've developed this atmosphere, this attitude. And I said last week or a couple times weeks ago, we're going to be starting what is our C3 opportunities. And we've already been doing that, but this is sort of a bigger picture thing. Like, hey, there's a need, and I can't quite meet it. And so then if there's a need that you're aware of, then you can kind of go to your prime group and say, hey, group, can we do this? And you guys have already been doing that. I mean, other people could stand up and say, yeah, they did that for me. But maybe there's something a little bit bigger than that. And that's where the C3 opportunity is like, hey, as a church, maybe we can come around and help accomplish some pretty impressive things in the name of Jesus. And doing it just to love people, not because we expect them to show up, not because we're doing it because, hey, Jesus will be prouder of me, which isn't a word, so it doesn't even work. We're doing it because we want to love people and we want to communicate Christ, even though we might feel unworthy. So that's what it's all about. It's communicating Christ, even if you feel unworthy. That's what Jesus has told us to do. And that's what I want to tell you guys. that you can do this. You know, after all of the confidence, after all of the tools that we gave to Alethea, after our presence being there, after all of this, Alethea didn't make it. I mean, she's alive. But, you know, probably about, 3 miles from the end, Dad had all he could have and handle anymore. Opened the trailer, said, Alethea, get in the trailer. She's too big and too heavy for the trailer. Got in the trailer, picked up the bike, threw it on top of the trailer, and we biked home. And bulked up some muscle on my leg because I was really upset at that point. And so I didn't feel the fact that I was pulling like 150 pounds. But as we were doing it, you know, all of that time, all of that energy, all of that effort, everything we were doing, saying, Alethea, you can do this, she gave up. And when she gave up, she didn't get to experience the thrill of balancing on a bike. She didn't get to feel the wind in her hair and the breeze. Because driving with Trey, if you've watched someone, they're like, I mean, she was not going anywhere. She didn't get to experience the breeze. She didn't get to experience all of those benefits because she didn't think she could do it. And I just want to throw out to you, imagine all the opportunities that we are missing. Imagine the lives that can be transformed for eternity because we don't think we can do it. Imagine the chances that we have to restore a marriage, but we don't because we don't think we can do it. Imagine people being freed from addiction, but we don't because we don't think we can do it. Imagine the hope that is lost because we don't think we can do it. And Jesus is there saying, you can do this. You've got what it takes. You can do this. You've got what it takes. You can do this. You've got what it takes. You can do this. You've got what it takes. Jesus is saying, you can do this. You've got what it takes. You can do this. You've got what it takes. Don't feel like we can't handle it. Jesus says, make disciples. You can do it. I'm giving you the keys. Take the car for a ride. You've got it. I'm taking the training wheels off. You can do this. You've got what it takes.